Welcome to the Closing the Gap podcast series, brought to you by Brand Hook and CMO Magazine.
I'm Pip Stocks, and I'm your host for Closing the Gap, an 11-part series about how marketers can close the gap between what consumers want and what business is delivering.
The digital transformation is upon us, yet 74% of senior executives around the world state their understanding of the customer experience as incomplete. This series gives marketers practical ways to build that knowledge.
Okay, so today we're here with Stephen Loftus, the CMO of the iconic English brand Brompton Bikes, for the Closing the Gap's second episode. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
Very good, thank you.
So today, Stephen, we're going to talk about the first three ways that the consumer behaviour has changed. We've already talked about the fact that there are seven, but today we're going to talk about the first three, which is consumers are building their own solutions, because they can't necessarily get what they want, so they're starting to look through the digital world to, you know, kind of develop their own products and services. We know that consumers are starting to evaluate across categories. So their detergent brand is being compared to their cafe customer experience. And we're also seeing a lot of consumers negotiating price differently. So they're using comparison websites and then negotiating with their current supplier to get a better deal. But I suppose firstly, what's it like moving from a drinks industry to the bike industry? Is it very different?
Well, I've moved about 9 months ago, so I would say now not so different. But at first, it was quite a big change. The one that kind of springs most to the front of my mind is the difference in terms of the retail environment. So, drinks being part of FMCG is dominated by some pretty sophisticated retailers. So, I've been used to very much the customer being king in your daily life, and actually. The bike industry is much more fragmented and does not have the same level of dominant retail players, which has an effect on how you're dealing with your customers and your responsiveness that is required and how much they lead the agenda versus you leading the agenda. Also made even further a point of change from where I was previously by. Been very lucky to work on a brand like Brompton, which had a very, very kind of strong, unique position in the market, which again gives the brand owner a position of strength versus the balance with the retailer.
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredibly iconic brand in the UK. I mean, it's got such power, but it's also getting quite a bit of traction around the world, isn't it?
Yeah, no, completely. I mean, the of our sales. Only 25% of our sales are in the UK. Very broad spread internationally. Asia Pacific has been an incredible area of growth for us. So in the last 10 years, it's gone from 1% of our business to 34%. And cities such as Tokyo, Seoul, Hong Kong, Singapore, increasingly, in Melbourne and Sydney, we're really developing our business internationally, but always have. We've been quite an international business for 15, 20 years now. Hmm. But the real greatest area of growth most recently has been in Asia Pacific.
Mm-hmm. So you would see a fair bit of consumers building their own solutions. I mean, there is tailoring with a Brompton bike. You can buy all the bits and make sure that, the consumers have the styles of things that they want. I mean, what kind of evidence are you seeing in the marketplace of consumers building their own products and services and essentially their own solutions?
Building up, and personalising Bromptons is, a huge part of people's excitement to being part of the Brompton world. Made for You is one of our kind of core brand messages. And we're helping provide a platform for that. We have a bike builder online, which enables you to build your different customization of your Brompton and provide a certain amount of accessories. But actually, a lot of it's out there in the market. People are creating themselves, and there's obviously other companies We've got some, you know, a company called Bromification, which is all about, you know, all the finite details of where you could customize your Brompton. And if I had a trip across Asia 2 months ago, and we have our world championship events, and I went to the Tokyo final, and it was just incredible seeing, I mean, there was 250 people racing in the event around central Tokyo. The wonderful customization that people have on Bromptons and how proud people are. So they, you know, we haven't had the ability, not always the desire to really go into the detail of fine detail of customization, but the Brompton owners have found their ways of either creating the solutions or finding people that can create the solutions for them.
But that's a very sophisticated attitude too, I think, for a marketer, because you're, as you say, consumers are more in control, and they're sort of demonstrating that through that experience. And they're really, you guys, you know, rather than fight it, you've just embraced it and thought, well, let's just work with the consumers and the customers of Brompton to make that a good and enjoyable experience.
I think that's very true. Whether it was conscious at the time, I think it is the nature of a business that has a wonderful product that people fall in love with, and it becomes an important part of their life. And our growth has been about word of mouth. You know, we've not had or needed, if you like, to be very over or advertise, you know, in terms of our marketing or advertising.
I mean, it's interesting with the wine market. I mean, you know, going back to your previous career, I think here in Australia, there's one of the big wine companies just put more people off. You know, 300 people are being lost in, you know, across a number of categories or departments in the organisation. And it seems like, you know, you guys have really cracked the brand and the real experience that consumers are after. And I look at the wine industry and I think it's so fragmented now that, you know, and almost have wanted to deliver a unique wine to a unique customer. And it's almost kind of gone so far down into a type of customization that it's lost its way. There's too many wines. There's too much choice. There's, you can buy a $10 Pinot Noir with a particularly groovy label, and you know, that could be your wine of choice for a couple of weeks. I mean, it's interesting how you could go too far down this road as well.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm learning, obviously, the differences between the two. You know, it takes time. But when you're particularly when you're spending maybe a bit more, but even if you're spending £300 on a bike, you're using it regularly. Mm. And it's not like something you consume and then can replace it with whatever else you want to, or whether it's, you know, whatever the latest trend or deal is. So you're making a larger investment, but it's also something that you're using, you know, a number of times. So there's kind of a basic difference around that area.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been very fortunate to come into a business where we are built on the legacy of Andrew Ritchie and who's still in the business, who I was meeting even yesterday, who just created an exceptional design, a really unique design that's incredibly clever. And so, you know, through that kind of engineering innovation, we have a point of difference which enables us to create loyalty. And as a result of that design, a product which can last, you know, people have for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, and it's a part of their life, and they might want to upgrade parts, or they might even want to get a new model, but they stick to the what is Brompton, and it's, you know, and it's exceptional.
I've certainly seen the love there, that's for sure. When you think about categories, so the other big finding we've looked at is that consumers, you know, in the old days you'd think about your laundry detergent and you'd go to the shops and buy your laundry, compared to against each other, and then buy the one that presented the best value to you. And what we're seeing now is that a customer experience from a bank is not seen as my experience with my bank. It's actually compared to all the things I'm experiencing these days. And a lot of that has got to do with the fact that people can now research online, they can investigate alternatives and so on. I mean, what evidence are you seeing of consumers evaluating across different categories, and maybe even taking it back to Brompton? How have you seen people judging another category and how you've had to then influence a Brompton experience because of that?
I think you're right in terms of expectations are high, and your level of, let's say, customer service, and particularly on a product that matters a lot to people and their lives, and it actually becomes part of their, you know, they're very much part of their life, which is our, you know, status with Brompton. You, like any of us, you know, your expectations on responsiveness when you have queries and issues or you want help are very, you know, are high. And there are some companies that always impress you, whether it was one of your, you know, not all your bank providers, but let's say you're lucky and you have a good bank provider that you get a great customer service. I think particularly online now, we're starting to do a lot of purchase online, expecting things to be delivered on time and to have an ability to talk to people. You know what is good and what isn't good. Our challenge is to deliver that kind of experience in a relatively small company is challenging based on the number of people you might employ. But actually, I think even greater is in order to deliver some of these experiences, going back to what you said as part of the introduction, the digital infrastructure that you need to be effective and be able to respond to the request or deliver products on time is great. And actually, we, you know, often, let's say if you're a smaller business, you've not put a sophisticated IT system and structure in place because you couldn't afford it. You were kind of a startup business 15, 20 years ago, really. Mm. And so you haven't got the best state of the art infrastructure, particularly from a digital perspective, to support the level of service and information that you need to provide to your customer. I find that is the biggest challenge that we face, and opportunity, because if we get that right, we've got a highly engaged customer base. But it is difficult because even if we have a huge amount of desire to provide that level of service, it's if the information is lost in different structures, if you like, if they're not very sophisticated, it's very hard for the people who are trying to, you know, respond to the customer on time in the right way. Mm. So that's one example.
We've got one last question, Stephen. Just really in terms of, you know, especially you being in the UK, which brands do you think are actually that are responding well in this new digital world, you know, particularly when you think about the consumer behaviour changes? I mean, who do you think's doing a good job over there?
I saw that in the questions. I mean, the one that jumped up, only because it's kind of broken the market, is Uber. Mm. It's something providing a fast, quick solution to people that often struggle with finding taxis. And in London in particular, you know, that's a real problem. You know, when you're either planning your night or even when you're out on the night or whatever the time might be. So that one's really is an example of someone that's broken the model, if you like, and used digital as a enabler to really kind of change the market.
It's interesting with Uber too, because I was talking to another client the other day and he said that they've reframed, and, you know, particularly thinking about consumers evaluating across category, they've really reframed the expectation of when how long a taxi should take to get to you. Because he said he was waiting 17 minutes for a normal cab and then got onto his Uber, and within 4 minutes he was picked up. And he just said, you know, all now my expectation of waiting time for anything is 4 minutes, and that's where I am now.
It's not just the waiting time, it's the knowledge of when the taxi is going to arrive. Mm. You know, that ability, you know, even if you're, it's like the world pre-mobiles, the fact you know your friend's going to be 20 minutes late is, you know, and that's clear, you can communicate that on a text or something like that. That's been happening in our lives for a while, but knowing exactly when your taxi, you can follow the taxi and when it's going to be with you. I think that's incredibly empowering, as well as arriving in four, not 17 minutes. It's the fact you know exactly where it is and it's coming, and you don't have to just be waiting there hoping that it's going to arrive.
Oh, it's the unknown, so that, isn't it? You know, that feeling that you don't know where it is and you don't know when it's going to come. That's the most frustrating part.
Yeah, and that goes to huge opportunities. I mean, we want to be able to have the situation where it takes a bit of time to build a Brompton, you know, it's, you know, and a lot of effort. We'd love to be able to have that whole experience followed. So you'd literally, you know, go from when you are considering buying your Brompton from a digital experience, go maybe in the store, check it out a bit more detail, then order your bike. And let's say it's a customized bike. It takes 4 to 6 weeks. We would love people to then go through the experience of and seeing the brazer actually brazing the core frame, and then see it going, you know, down the production line, and kind of know when it's nearly ready, and just be part of the experience and understand how it's been created and why it's taken 4 to 6 weeks or whatever the time frame might be, and then having the, you know, the joy of when the product's, you know, well, it's about to arrive and the excitement involved with it. So you take that time, which if you didn't know how long it, you'd say, well, why is it taking 4 to 6 weeks? It's a long time, you know, and frustration. Actually, by not just reducing that time, but actually sharing the experience, you're actually adding a huge amount to the whole, you know, joy of buying a product. But we need to, you know, to put that infrastructure in place, take that opportunity, you know, from a digital perspective, an IT perspective, is, you know, it's quite an investment, but it's definitely something we're looking to do, and we're trying to do as much as possible, is to take that experience and share it. It does link to Uber, actually. I mean, they would have gone in as that, as a key point of their business model, whereas we're now, and other companies are trying to. And so that would have been their, one of their key investment, if you like. Whereas other people, you know, would have had more of a traditional model, and not necessarily a service, you know, led business, obviously. But you're trying to, because of that person who's set the mold for what service needs to be, you're, even though you're a bike manufacturer, you need to try and find ways of replicating that in your service model. Which is an opportunity, but obviously you can't get there immediately.
No. Well, it sounds like you're doing all the right things, Stephen, and thank you very much for your time today on episode 2 of Closing the Gaps podcast. And we'll obviously see you soon in London.
See you soon in London. Maybe, you know, maybe in Melbourne as well. We got our Brompton Urban Challenge coming up in the next couple of months, I think, in Melbourne, so hopefully I'll get out to Australia sometime in the next year.
Oh, well, that would be brilliant.
Okay.
Thanks, Stephen.
Cheers, bye.